We're joined this morning by a very accomplished artist, the animator Alisa Lewis. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
As that music we use as our theme was playing, the Ballad of the Easy Life, it's called, from Kurt Weill's Three Penny Opera, I suddenly wondered if you had a picture in mind or a moving one.
While I was listening to the song?
Yeah.
You know, I thought of a field of flowers. And do you remember the animation Peter and the Wolf?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, the original one. That's what I thought about.
Oh, that is wonderful. Well, so exciting to have you in and to have read over your career. You're still quite young and already very accomplished. You are not only very active in your professional organization in ASIFA. Is that the acronym?
Yep. ASIFA was the previous organization I was in. I did that for 7 years. And the Atlanta campus is actually the only one, well, the Atlanta branch is the only one in the Southeast.
And tell us what ASIFA does.
ASIFA Atlanta specializes in workshops, classes, screenings, all things festival related, whether it's preparing someone to have their film ready for a festival or showing them where their festivals can go. They also do parties and gatherings that the members ask for. So if a member comes up and says, you know, I'd like for us to venture into this direction, ASIFA will say, hey, you know, that sounds fun, and I think other animators would like to do that. So they really foster a community of working together and staying together.
Reading over your bio, I was so delighted to see that you and I connected in our earliest moments with Bugs Bunny. Bugs Bunny is up there with Mozart and Mel Brooks for me.
I agree.
Tell me your Bugs Bunny moment.
I'll tell you about my most significant Bugs Bunny moment. And I was 2 years old. I was watching Looney Tunes, as my mother enjoyed watching it too. She would show me episode after episode. And on one episode, Bugs Bunny was being drawn to life,
yes,
by an animator. And I didn't know that was possible. I didn't know how the cartoons that I was watching were made. But when I saw that, it just sparked in me that this is what I want to do.
Okay, you were so much more sophisticated as a two-year-old because I thought he really was a creature who talked with a very nice Brooklyn accent, I should add. I always liked the Looney Tunes characters because they sounded like New York characters. And thing about Bugs Bunny, and you're mentioning watching with your mom, is when I think back on so many of those cartoons now, I realize they could be appreciated by adults as well as,
yes,
children, and yet never condescended to children,
mm-hmm,
in much the way I think Jim Henson achieved with the,
yes,
Muppets. And Rocky and Bullwinkle, I think, also did that, although that was very sophisticated. I mean, I was in graduate school,
mm-hmm,
before I knew that Boris Godunov was an opera and not just Boris Badenov, the, you know, cartoon character.
Yes.
But you had this impression, you saw and recall Bugs Bunny being drawn at age 2. Did you start drawing back then?
I was drawing before then, and I believe that many children are. It starts when your parents hand you a pen or a marker because you're bored and they just want you to do something. Maybe they're in a meeting or on a phone call or cooking, and they give you a notepad and a pen or something to write with. I believe that's where it starts. When I saw the Bugs Bunny cartoon, I knew that that was an occupation that I could take on. And I knew occupations because, like you said, my parents did not condescend to me as a child. We didn't do baby talk or I don't know, things that you would do with a child to keep them childlike.
No, so, you probably talked like Mel Blanc and all those other Brooklyn characters.
I spoke clearly and I spoke with full sentences, and it's because my parents, they brought me up like that, and we watched cartoons that didn't condescend to children, like Looney Tunes. I watched Bugs Bunny being drawn to life, and I told my mother that's what I would do. She knew the word cartoonist, so she said, "You're going to be a cartoonist." And that's what I stuck with, and I'm still doing.
Wow. Okay, we're going to hear more about the current Alisa Lewis, cartoonist extraordinaire. On City Lights, you're listening to WABE Atlanta. Listening to City Lights on WABE Atlanta. I'm Lois Reitzes, here with animation artist Alisa Lewis. So already at 2 o'clock, hello, already at 2 years old, your mom had helped you articulate that it's a cartoonist you wanted to become, and you did. You gained recognition very early on, just really upon entering college.
I think that had a lot to do with my overall observation of where I was in college. So I went to SCAD Atlanta for my BFA in animation, and there you have a mix of students with different skill levels. You have people coming straight out of high school who have no skill at all, and you have people who've been in the industry for many years. And you're competing in the same classroom for the same kind of grade. So it's an example of real life. And in my assessment of where I was in that spectrum, I felt that if I were to rely solely on my portfolio, maybe I wouldn't be as successful. So I started amping up things that I could do instead of just animation. I could plan events. I could network. I could learn other skills in the animation pipeline that may
connect you.
Yeah, it may connect me more to an animation job than if I relied solely on that. So I decided to join the SCAD Atlanta Animation Society, also known as SAS. And
I like that acronym.
Yeah. I became the president of that organization and then joined ASIFA Atlanta. And with ASIFA and with SAS, I gained so many connections that I wouldn't have had I not been a part of an organization.
Well, let's talk about animation in Atlanta. You already mentioned these professional organizations and the school. When one thinks of animation, I guess Disney is usually what comes to mind in the U.S. So the majority of it is in L.A., is it not?
Yes, especially for the United States. It's funny that you say when you think of animation, you think Disney.
When people mm-hmm. at large.
It's true. It's yeah. very true.
I always preferred the New York accents of Looney Tunes. You know, I mean, those little fairies and animals were adorable, but mm-hmm. Bugs? Come on. Daffy Duck? You can't beat those guys.
Disney has done a lot of work to advertise their company.
Yes.
Everybody knows about it. So their work has paid off. When you think animation, you think Disney, you think Pixar, you think of those humongous studios that have put out so much work and definitely deserve the recognition that they have. But there are tons of animation studios in Georgia as well.
Tell us about them.
So when I was in SCAD and doing a portfolio class, one of our requirements was to reach out to possible employers to write these dummy resumes and these dummy portfolios that one day you may send out, but for right now, it's just for you to get a feel for it in a class. When I went to go do that, it was extremely difficult. I went to Google and I typed in Animation Studio Georgia, Animation Studio Atlanta, Animation Studio Norcross, looking for animator, looking for 2D animator. I would continuously do that.
2D?
2D, like 2D. Yeah, two-dimensional, yes.
That's a character I don't remember.
Apologize. 2D. Two-dimensional
or
three-dimensional?
Oh, wait, Saved by the Bell. Was that? No.
Looney Tunes, two-dimensional. Shrek, three-dimensional.
Ah, I see. Okay, well, you can tell how last century
I apologize.
Well, so I guess, is it the elephant in the room, or at least the elephant in the room of Atlanta? Cartoon Network?
Cartoon Network is here, and a lot of people who think of animation in Georgia, their first thought is Cartoon Network. And that's fantastic. Cartoon Network also deserves its recognition. They're a large company here. But there are smaller companies as well, and that's what my research as a student really uncovered, is that if I were to not just do my web search, but to combine it with networking and just going out there and digging, good old investigation, then I could find a lot more animation studios that weren't just producing work, but also looking to hire. While I was in school and while I was in ASIFA, I decided to make a map. And it's an animation resource map that includes all the animation studios that I found, the animation stores, you could buy supplies, schools, resource galleries, places to meet up, classes that you could take loosely outside of a university, and just so on. Anything that people would say, you know what, I'm having trouble looking for that. I'm having trouble finding places where I can do this. I started adding that to the map.
Wait, now, were you paid for this?
No, this is all just in my free time because it just needs to be done. Sometimes you do things because you're being paid, and sometimes you do things because they just need to happen.
And is this an animated map?
It is not an animated map.
I love it.
It would be fantastic if it were. I guess animated in the fact that it's interactive and that you do get displays changing in real time. So that's, you know, that's technically animation.
Yes.
It's a Google-driven map. So if you think of a Google map with points on it, that map we have available on our website, and people can... they can just find what's in their area, and it just it's a resource for them.
Fantastic. Well, you mentioned the technical part. We're going to get more into that technique in a moment. I'm Lois Reitzes, here with Alisa Lewis, and you are listening to City Lights on WABE Atlanta. May recognize that music as the closing theme to Archer. Fast forward from that little two-year-old girl watching Bugs Bunny with her mom, and it is that very adult, very clever, wonderfully retro series, Archer, where Alisa Lewis unleashes a lot of her creativity now. Tell us what you do for Archer.
I am on the After Effects animation team. We do have another animation team, which is the Toon Boom animation team. But on the After Effects one, I primarily do the lip sync. So that's my number one job.
Okay, lip sync, not Nilly Vanilly, not like the Super Bowl. Tell us about lip sync.
So lip syncing is... lip syncing is the art of merging images with audio to create this illusion that the character is making the audio come out spontaneously. So if you think about dubbing, when people try to do voiceover dubs, they try really hard to match the mouths with the sounds. And that's what I'm doing on Archer, is I have the sounds that come in, and I try to make the characters move their mouths so that it matches.
And, you know, you do a far more effective job of that than some of the news programs on real-life TV, because with digital delay and, you know, any of a number of things that can go wrong in feeds, we really have the opportunity to see just how precise a craft or art that is that you do, because two-dimensional and, you can't get, I mean, I realize I am mixing media here, but when I think about Muppets once again, and obviously you can tell I think a lot about Muppets and Bugs Bunny, even though the expression of so many of those marvelous characters it can't possibly change, the way the puppeteers move them and mm-hmm. the way, I guess, they are responding to the speech makes us think that their mouths aren't frozen in that moment in time. And that's the task before you, isn't it?
I think that's a great analogy, because we also have limited mouth shapes when we're working with Archer. So
because he's this square-jawed, really cool James Bond guy?
Well, that's the parameters of the show that we've set up. It just goes stylistically with what we're trying to do. So I think that's a wonderful analogy using the Muppets.
Thank you. See, we could hang out and watch Muppets and Bugs Bunny. Invite your mom over.
She would love that.
So the lip-syncing, I would think it must take many hours to achieve. Could you describe a day in the life?
Yes, I can. So I come into work and I sit at my desk. As someone who specializes in lip sync, I don't have too many people to answer to, so I can get to work right away. I go on my computer. I see some files. They're usually audio pieces. Sometimes they're just audio. Most of the time, they also have visuals of the animatic, which is just a rough timing of drawings from the storyboard that tells me what's happening when and which character's head is facing which direction, so that when I'm working in my After Effects file, and I apologize for using so much.
No, I love it. I'm
so
thinking,
much animation terminology.
I'm thinking of those little pads of paper, you know, that kids get in grab bags. Yes, and this is very different what you face when you arrive at work.
It is all digital. So when I go to my computer and I'm looking at my After Effects file, that program, I can pull up heads of the characters and change it into the direction that it needs to be facing, whether it's to the front or all the way turned around. Knowing that helps me know which mouth I should use when I'm animating. So I'll get the audio. I'll have my rough images with the timing on it. I'll put that all into my After Effects file and then begin lip syncing. Depending on whatever sound I hear, I'll use a specific shape. And I'll go through that whole process until I'm done.
Wow. Do you ever get to work with the actors, or is it simply the audio?
I really wish I could work directly with the actors.
Have you met them?
I have met, I have seen all of them. I have met three of them. And
Aisha Tyler?
No, I would love to.
Me too. But who have you met, and how have they responded to your work?
None of them have seen my work directly, unless you count watching the show.
Yeah, well, I would call that your work.
Yes. Coming to my desk and watching what I'm doing, that hasn't happened.
Oh.
But they're really nice when they come in and friendly, so I really enjoy whenever a voice actor comes in. But they have a lot of editing that goes into the voice acting. So if I were to sit with them, it would be a very long process.
And for listeners who may not be familiar with Archer, can you give us the 30-second synopsis?
Okay. You know what? Let's talk about Archer from season 1 to season 6.
Yes.
I believe that's what's out right now. So we start out Archer getting to know the character and finding out that he works at a spy agency with his mother and his ex-girlfriend and a few co-workers he doesn't enjoy. The show goes through a bunch of bumblings, and when you get to season 6, you see how the characters have grown and really that they aren't who you saw in the first season. I guess that's, without spoiling it, that's as far as I can go for the 30 seconds.
They've evolved. One of the many charms of the series, I think, is the hodgepodge of references that it has. I mean, it's a little James Bond. It's a little Pink Panther.
It's a little Bob's Burgers.
But I think that it's already something of a phenomenon, and no doubt you have a hand in its success. So, life after Archer, or life beyond Archer, what more would you like to do, Elisa?
You know, it's hard to think about the show you're working on ending.
Yeah.
But after that, I definitely will be pouring myself more into my animation life, the company that I've started, which is Animation Resource and Animation Staffing. So I'll be pouring myself into that.
Well, it has just been so much fun talking with you. And now when I watch, I'm going to be particularly focused on the mouth movement and thinking this is what Elisa did in 13 hours on one particular day. It's just been a delight. Thank you so much, and continued success. I think you're going to have it.
Thank you so much.